now's the time to go. And then when they've gone, if we could have the reading, please, Jane, in a mo, between now and Easter, and in fact going a little bit beyond Easter, is that of last words. Last words of Jesus, last teachings as he prepares for what is to come and prepares his disciples. And today's theme, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If only Jesus were here. If only we could sit at his feet, listening to his teaching. If only we could journey with him and witness his healing. If only we could be with him and marvel at his miraculous acts of stilling the storm and feeding the 5,000. If only we could eat with him and laugh with him. If Jesus were here, it would be so much easier to believe, to follow, to have faith, we might say. On Monday, my wife went out to her car to head for the church office. She came back in a few minutes later. "I can't get the car to move," she said. "The engine starts, but it feels like something's stopping the car." "Maybe the handbrake's sticking," I said. "Try pulling away with more revs and it might unstick." "You do it," she said. So I did. And I raised the revs more courageously than Wendy had. And it still went nowhere. I tried again. The car actually rose up on one side. There was plainly some power coming from the front wheels as I attempted to reverse up the slight upward slope off our driveway. And I still went nowhere. So I did what we all would do in the circumstances. I told her to walk to work. No, that's not true, actually. I gave her a lift to the office in my car in the interest of our marriage. But, of course, her car was still stuck on the driveway. Now, we'll come back to that. But I think, actually, that many Christians are stuck on the driveway. If only Jesus were still here, I could get out onto the open road, they might say. If only the Jesus of the Bible was with me, I could have faith and I could navigate life's traffic with confidence. If only this amazing man who forgave and healed and taught and encouraged and stilled storms and fed thousands, if only he were here now, the church would be on fire with growth and life. If only Jesus were still here. Well, if that could be you talking, hear this. He is. He is here. He is still here. As Jesus approaches the end of his earthly life, there are things he really needs to say to his disciples. If you knew that you had 18 hours or so left to live, you'd want to speak to those with whom you're closest. What would you say, I wonder? You'd remind them of your love. And Jesus does that. You'd perhaps tell them not to worry. Things will be all right. And Jesus does that. You'd try to bring them hope. And Jesus does that for his disciples. All of these things are very human things to do. But Jesus goes beyond. He says, not believe me, but believe in me. He says that he goes to prepare a place for them in his Father's house with its many mansions, as Jenny put it last week. He says that he is the way to that place. He says that they will do even more amazing things than those that he has done. And he says that unless he goes, the Spirit will not come. And these are things that he can truthfully say only because he is not merely human, but also divine. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And having the Holy Spirit is going to be even better than having Jesus. Jesus, the human being who walks and talks with the disciples on earth, can only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, can be in all places at all times. But for him to come, Jesus has to return to his heavenly Father. And that will mean crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Unless he goes to the Father, the Spirit will not come, he tells the disciples. But because he has gone to the Father, the Spirit is here. I want to focus on one word as we think about what it means to have the Spirit here. I always feel a bit concerned referring to the Greek of the New Testament when Panos is here. Because Panos, your Greek is so much, you feel concerned as well, do you? Obviously, your Greek is much better than any of the Greek that any of us may have. But the word I want to refer to here is the word paraclete. It's close. That is praise indeed. It's more praise than I get when I play golf with him, I can tell you. Parakletos, that'll do. So if you know anything about translation from one language to another, you'll know that translation is it's more of an art than a science. Exact translations of words from one language to another just may not be possible. And I think this is rather true of this word, parakletos. In the King James Version of the Bible, it is translated as comforter. In older versions of the New International Version, it's rendered as counselor. In the most recent version of the NIV, I think that's what we had today, it's translated as advocate. In other versions of the Bible, it's interpreted as helper. In the Message paraphrase, it is given as friend. And these words are not quite synonyms of each other, not exact synonyms anyway. And yet they all help us, I think, to unpack the nuances of meaning from this Greek word, parakletos. How many of us here remember the paraklesis course? Get a few hands going up here. Amazingly, it is 6 years ago that we did this course as a church. Now, next test for you is, who remembers the meaning of the word paraklesis? Yeah, almost there. Anyone like to add to that? To be alongside. Walking alongside gets a little bit closer, I think, or coming alongside. That's right. Coming alongside. And so we apply that to parakletos, and parakletos is one who comes alongside. The Holy Spirit is one who comes alongside us. He comes alongside as the presence of Jesus. The Spirit comes alongside us. And he comes alongside us, and as we sort of examine this word and the different meanings that some of the English translations give, the different translations they interpret, he comes alongside us as comforter. On this Mothering Sunday, we have thought of good mums everywhere. They comforted us when we were young. For those blessed to still have mums around and living life well, they probably still do bring comforts. And that points us to the love of God, who speaks in Isaiah 66, verse 13, this is, and says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." See, mothers as well as fathers are made in the image of God, and we see something of the feminine side of God in this verse in Isaiah. Not that fathers can't bring comfort, but more often than not, it was my mum who was around for me whilst my dad was elsewhere and working. In a world of war, in a world of political and economic uncertainty, a world in which our own personal circumstances often cause us worry, we need comforting. And Jesus says to his disciples here in our reading in John 14, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The Spirit of Jesus says that to us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus never says that we won't face any problems or that they'll all be resolved this side of eternity. But he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. And the risen Jesus promises, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The presence of the Holy Spirit makes these things true. And whatever God's answer to our most urgent prayer, I believe that we can know the peace through the Comforter coming alongside us. And sometimes we'll feel this presence. Sometimes we'll have to believe it by faith. But always we can know that the Spirit is with us. The Bible tells us so. Tells us that after Jesus was crucified and risen and ascended to his heavenly Father, the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And how? With tongues, what seemed to be tongues of fire, and what sounded like a mighty wind, and women and men praising God in all sorts of different languages, and people filled with the Holy Spirit. The Comforter coming alongside the people of God. And the Spirit comes alongside us also as counselor. We can think in our life groups maybe about the sort of relative similarities and differences between these things. But today, in a professional sense, the role of counselor is often to listen, simply to listen, and probably to reflect back to us what we are saying in a manner that will help us to find our own solution. And Jesus, if we read through the Gospels in the different encounters that he has with many and varied people, Jesus is a great listener, isn't he? He's always asking questions of people. He's always listening for the answers, interested in what people are going to say. On the road to Emmaus, as the risen Lord Jesus, he comes alongside two disciples. He listens to what they are saying. And only having listened does he then interpret to them what the scriptures are saying about the prophets and about the Messiah who was to come. Jesus comes and listens, and yet he knows that we cannot always find our own answers. We need the forgiveness that he brings to help us deal with past hurts. We need divine guidance to find his way for the future. We need wise counsel to live in the present. In verses 25 and 26 of John 14, Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you." And as we read and learn from the Scriptures, as we pray to God in various ways, the Spirit comes alongside to counsel us. We can ask for that counsel. Let the Spirit come. Then the third translation that I mentioned was that of advocate. The Spirit comes alongside us as advocate. In the English language, the word advocate has the sense of someone who speaks on our behalf, defending us and supporting us. It has the sense of someone who maybe represents us in a court of law. Happily, I have never been charged with any criminal offence. And I aim to keep it that way. But if I were charged, I would want someone interceding on my behalf, wouldn't you? I, when people choose to defend themselves, it usually ends badly. I would want someone speaking on my behalf. As Jesus speaks, he will soon be charged and sentenced to death. Though innocent of any crime, he will remain all but silent, offering no defense. But he foresees a time when his followers will be persecuted and will need the help of an advocate. And he reassures the disciples, the Spirit will be there. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of Jesus still is there, still is here. Romans 8:26 tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I want to borrow my aforementioned Greek friend. Pallas, will you come out here, please? No, it's nothing bad. This is where you realize how much taller I am, but hey, we can make it work. Can we stand back to back?
Back to back?
Yeah, I don't want to see you. I mean, right, so this is, I thought we might do this illustration and, don't worry about the respective height. I could bend down, but back to back. But imagine, if you will, that Panos and I are in battle, not against each other, although you might think it otherwise in the evidence of this morning. But we're on the same side, and we are back to back so that I can protect his back with my sword or whatever weapon it is against the enemy, and he can protect mine. You see that? And we can turn around, Panos, can't we? Come on, you've got to try this.
What?
Well, we rotate round as we're fighting the battle. Okay. Doing a little pirouette. We'll stop there. Right. Thank you. Thank you, mate. You can give him a clap if you want. I mean, whee. Now, I was interested to learn that the word parakletos was used of the person in battle with whom a soldier would stand back to back. Oh, there is a point to it after all. It's not just a gimmick. And as they fought the enemy, they would protect one another from attack from behind. Today, we might speak of the person who's got our back in any situation. The person who's always there for us, whatever we're going through. The one who will defend us, reassure us, protect us, and encourage us. The Holy Spirit's got your back. Hear that. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it to the full, John 10:10. And the Spirit brings that. When you struggle with temptation, the Spirit's got your back. Draw on him for help. When you face problems, the Spirit's got your back. When you doubt your faith, the Spirit's got your back. When you feel you can't go on, the Spirit's got your back. He is your helper, your friend, your advocate, your counselor, your comforter. And my sense is, but most of us know this. We know that the Spirit is our counselor, our comforter, our advocate, but we are not quite sure how to turn the theory into reality. Let me finish with just a couple of ideas, a couple of thoughts of how we can apply this knowledge that we have of the Spirit as our comforter, counselor, our advocate. The first thing is that we need to be filled. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In our household, it is my job to fill up both cars with fuel. I have to say, I try to leave it as long as possible before refueling. When I go to refuel, I try to fill the tank as much as possible. I really don't want to spend half my time heading down to Tesco's filling up with fuel. Minimize it as much as I can. I mean, you do hear stories, I've heard them certainly, of people who pray when the fuel gauge is on empty and miraculously the car keeps on driving. Have you heard those? I have. It's never worked for me. You know, we fill our cars with fuel, or one or two of us plug them in, but they still need recharging. We don't just fill them once and assume that they're going to keep on going and going and going. Our cars keep on needing to be filled, needing to be recharged. And it's the same with us, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit. When Paul says be filled, he doesn't mean just once. He means be filled and go on being filled. Corrie ten Boom says, the human spirit fails except when the Holy Spirit fills. Wise words. How are we going to be filled? How are we going to be filled and to go on being filled with God's Spirit? Well, I think it's a choice. Ask and it will be given to you, says Jesus in Luke 11. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we ask, we make the choice to ask God and allow God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Yes, there are times when the Spirit can simply overwhelm us with the presence of Jesus. But we also need to ask. Oswald Smith says, it's not a case of us getting more of the Holy Spirit, but of the Holy Spirit getting more of us. So be filled. And then secondly, be released. Let me take you back to last Monday. So I did drop Wendy off at the church office, and I drove home, and the car was still stuck on the driveway. It hadn't rolled down the slope into the garage door because I'd left the handbrake lever down. And I was convinced that it was the handbrake to blame. And I kind of rocked it on different corners of the car to see if that would do anything. Didn't. I thought I was going to have to call out our breakdown service because it was just locked solid. It just did the same thing all over and over again. It would push, but it went nowhere. And I thought, there's got to be something I can do. I thought about praying. You often hear stories of that, don't you? Well, like the car that miraculously goes on being filled with petrol, even when it's not. But I remembered, as the Bible doesn't say, that God helps those who help themselves. So I turned to Google. What might I do to release the handbrake if that was the problem? Google said, try lowering and raising the handbrake lever a few times. This wouldn't have worked on my car, which has an electronic handbrake. But on Wendy's, it did. So I lowered the handbrake, didn't move, lifted it, lowered it, lifted it, lowered it, lifted it, still nothing happened. Then I thought, well, let's try. Maybe it will move this time. If I start the engine, if I reverse back, maybe the handbrake will release. So, raised the revs, raised the clutch, and the car tugged at the handbrake, and lo and behold, it released and reversed off the drive. Fortunately, I was ready. It wasn't straight into the wall behind me, the other house, the neighbors. But reversed off the drive, ready to go. And it follows, I think, from being filled with the Holy Spirit that you are released. A car full of fuel parked on the driveway is no earthly use, is it, if it just stays there? We need to release the handbrake to get off the driveway and out onto the open road. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. We need to stop putting the brakes on him and allow the Spirit to bring us alongside those that need the help that Jesus brings. The Spirit makes Jesus present to us, means he is here. But we are called to make Jesus present to others. And here are more wise words from Corrie ten Boom. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, she says, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. I want that, don't you? Don't you want that for yourself? Who is the Spirit calling you to come alongside with the comfort and the counsel that Jesus brought? To whom is he calling you to have their back? In John 14, from the Message paraphrase, verses 15 to 17, Jesus says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. You see, Jesus is here after all. Jesus is present with his people, present in his people. And so I want to say to you this morning, be filled, be released, be the presence of Jesus to all around you. Let's pray before we come to our final song. As we pray, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way in which you prepared your disciples. For your forthcoming departure, we thank you for the love and the care that you showed for them. The same love which you show for us today. We thank you that knowing you would be physically absent, you prepared us to know a physical presence, a spiritual presence of you inside of ourselves by your Spirit living on in us. Lord, we know that we have to be touched by your Spirit to come to know you in the first place. Your Spirit has to convict us of our sins. Your Spirit begins a work of transformation in our lives, bringing us to faith in you. But Lord, we also know that even if we've been filled with the Spirit once, we leak. We need refilling. We need to go on being filled with your Spirit again and again. And Lord, we pray that you would fill our hearts, our minds, our lives with your Spirit this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Come as our comforter. Come as our counselor. Come as our advocate. Come alongside of us and live within us. And may we, because Jesus is present with us, May we come alongside others with the presence of Jesus. To comfort, to counsel, to be a friend, to bring the amazing love that you, Lord God, have for each one of us.